Welcome to Conscious Convos. This podcast is a space for conversations that inspire us towards better understanding and achieving spiritual growth. We do that by inviting different guests from all over the world to share their unique journeys, insights, and practical advice on how to live a more elevated and conscious life. On episode 10 of Conscious Convos, we have a very special guest, that is Rita Bakke. Rita is a licensed emotional intelligence coach and an internationally accredited master trainer of NLP hypnotherapy, and she has been in the educational field for over 22 years, focusing on helping people connecting to their truth and empowering them to live a fulfilled life. The topic we chose to focus on with Rita is the topic of EFT, which is short for Emotional Freedom Techniques. This is a tool that I have learned about many years ago, and I use it, let's say, about every day. And it has really benefited me over the past decade of my life. I've experienced many positive shifts, too many to mention, but I mention a couple of them on the podcast. So please tune in and enjoy the podcast. If you haven't heard about EFT before, or even if you have and would like to get some new insights or reminders about this really amazing tool, enjoy the Conscious Convo with Rita Bakke. Okay, Rita is with us today. Hello, Rita, and thank you again for being here with us.
Hello, thank you.
Rita, so we're going to dive straight into the topic today, and it's a topic that for me is a very fascinating topic, because I've known about EFT, that it stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, for about 14 years now, since 2008. And I've been using it, and it's personally helped me so much in my life. And maybe during this episode, I'll give a few examples. I'll tell some stories. But first, let's hear from you. We did a little poll before the episode. We asked the audience, you know, if they had heard about EFT. And it was about 50%, if I remember correctly. I think 50% had heard of it and 50% never had. So why don't we start telling the people, what is EFT?
Sure. So EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques, which goes under the field of energy medicine. And what it basically does is tapping on certain acupressure points to kind of release certain blockages in the body. So the simplest way to think of EFT is to describe it as acupuncture without the use of needles. So we have these points that relate the energy centers in the body and the circulation of those energy centers, known as the meridians. So when we actually tap, we shift energy, we move energy. And I'd really like to stress the scientific aspect behind it, because there are some people who kind of, you know, question when we talk about energies, and I totally understand, but I'm a person who dives so much into science as well, and EFT is backed up by science. There's a lot of research that has happened to know what exactly is happening on the brain when we're tapping these certain acupressure points. So a lot of research has happened to kind of confirm that when we tap, we are reducing the activity of the amygdala in the brain. And the amygdala is that center of the brain that kind of controls the fight, flight, or freeze response. So whenever something happens, the amygdala gets stimulated, cortisol levels increase. With tapping, as you've mentioned earlier, EFT helped you, and it's because it's kind of pacifying the effect of whatever is bubbling in the brain by reducing the activity in the amygdala. And as a result, cortisol levels drop. So instead of popping a pill, you might as well tap. So that's
right.
In a nutshell what we do in EFT.
Right, right. And when you say it's, because you said in the beginning that it's used to release blockages, what does that mean exactly? What
okay.
are some blockages that it's releasing?
Absolutely. So think of your body and the connection of the energy centers as an electric circuit of a house. If there's a short circuit, electricity doesn't flow. And hence, if there's a bulb at the end of that line, it's not going to light up, right?
Mm.
Exactly what happens on the body. It's that electrical circuit that we kind of allow the flow of energy in. If we go through trauma, if we have a self-limiting belief that's not allowing us to move forward, if we have a certain fear, it creates that blockage which does not allow the flow of energy in the body. So with tapping, we're kind of opening up that circuit, opening up that flow so that we can get better functionalities of our system, basically.
Right. And just for the listeners and the viewers that probably have never seen EFT in action before, the tapping we're talking about is literally tapping with one's fingers on specific points in the body. And maybe at some point during the episode, we can have a quick demonstration of where to show the people where these points are and how to tap on them. If there's anything that needs to be said while the tapping is going on. Now, I like when you said, talking about blocks and energetic blocks, that they could be emotions from traumas, but they could also be beliefs as well. And this is one of the interesting things about EFT, is that you could actually release a belief that you have, that once you release it, you start to see the world differently, right?
Correct.
So yeah, what are some examples of that you've experienced?
Yeah, I'll give you one of my favorite examples, which is our relationship with money.
Okay.
So if we grow up in an environment, so I grew up in an environment where money was a big deal, right?
Mm.
And we had to work hard, and everybody around us had to work hard to get the money. And it was basically the men in the family who were the breadwinners and were making the money. So if you, let's say, take an example of a little girl coming to mom asking for $10, and mom is saying, I don't have the money, go to dad. And if this happens over and over, we're indirectly transmitting a belief to the little girl that mom doesn't have the money and dad has the money. So it starts building at a very young age. Now, this little girl grows up. We all know that we have the capacity to earn money as women, right? But because
right.
in the back of my head, whenever I went to mom, she did not have the money, I start self-sabotaging myself because I've been raised on the premise that women can't make money or don't make money.
Mm-hmm.
So I've already inherited a self-limiting belief that says women don't make money. This can be definitely sorted in EFT. So basically, going back to when you were asking me about the certain pressure points that we tap on along with certain statements, there are two main concepts in EFT. The very first one is to address what is known as psychological reversal, known as PR, which is exactly down the lines of the example that I gave. So if I reverse the natural ability of my system to make money, to reverse disease, to overcome beliefs, to da 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 da, whatever you name it, then that needs to be addressed. I really need to give my system the right statements to reverse, you know, that belief and to kind of replaced it with the empowering belief of, yes, I can make the money. Yes, I can reverse disease. Yes, I can do whatever I want to do if I use my system correctly.
Okay.
And the other concept is what is known as secondary benefit. Mm. If you think of any problem that, or any belief or anything that we go through, sometimes we keep that destructive belief because it's giving us something. So if I believe that women don't make money, and I give myself permission to make money, in the back of my head, I could be losing the love of mom. So if I were to I lose that love. So the secondary gain of keeping the problem is gaining that love. It's exactly with any disease that manifests on the physical body. Sometimes we attract this disease because we want attention. The subconscious is so smart. It will do anything to give us what we want. So if there's a benefit that comes with the problem is going to stay. And this is something that we truly need to address in EFT. So that's,
right.
Yeah.
Quite fascinating, actually. But does that mean, Rita, that one has to be aware of that secondary benefit? Because I don't think all of us know exactly why whatever is happening is happening. So how does that really work?
Oh, we're not aware at all. Right. It's a very unconscious process, but it comes to the surface with the tapping. So a lot of people realize a lot of things as they tap, because when you tap, a lot of information comes out from the subconscious, and this is when, you know, things come to the surface and we deal with them as they show up.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned, I know at the beginning of our talk, you mentioned, you know, the work, it includes energetic blockages, emotional and psychological issues, but now I hear you talking about physical problems like diseases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Is that included as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'd love to talk a little bit about epigenetics here, because we think that certain diseases are hereditary. And let's take breast cancer as an example, right? So we all know that the common knowledge is that if my mom had breast cancer, probably get it and I'll pass it to my daughter and da da da. Research proves that only 5 to 10% of breast cancer is hereditary. The rest is due to the belief that if my mom has cancer, then I'm going to get it. So it's the environment that I live in that actually affects my genetic mutation,
yeah.
Right? So the environment and the beliefs are what makes us, right? And what causes that disease. So having said that, whenever I work on the belief, I can definitely reverse disease. There's a book that I highly recommend by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Your Life. Louise Hay was big on tapping. She healed her cervical cancer. She's written her story in the book. She lived till she was 90. The bottom line is when she did the chemotherapy and the radiotherapy, and only when she handled the emotional cause of her cancer, she was able to get over it. So it's very important that we educate people on this bit, on this aspect, that yes, we can reverse disease because it's all a mental process. Whatever manifests on the physical body has its roots in an emotional imbalance.
Right.
And we know that.
I'm quite curious, actually, Rita, to how your journey actually started with EFT.
My journey with EFT started as a result of an accident. So I almost killed a man. I was driving on the highway in Beirut, and a poor man decided to cross the street, not use the pedestrian bridge. And me being me then, I didn't see him, so I ran over him. He bumped onto the front glass, broke the front glass, and flew a few meters away.
Oh, wow.
And that was traumatizing, yeah, for me and my children. And luckily, I thank God to this day that he's not dead. He's still alive and he's good. And I thank him personally because he's the one who put me on this journey. I was so much in my mind. I never left the headquarters. And that forced me to drop down into my heart and into my gut, which is a totally different, again, talk we can have later. But to deal with my trauma, I went and sought help. I went to a trauma healer, and then I continued with all the other mind sciences that I now also teach and practice. But EFT was one big method that has helped me to be able to speak about the accident without tears, without choking, without, you know, having all these emotional, you know, reactions come to the surface. Because EFT, what it does basically is it neutralizes the emotions around a certain event as well. So think of it as having a negative charge in your body. It gives you a positive charge to neutralize the feeling. There's one big technique we teach also called the movie technique. So you actually monitor the emotions as you tell the story. And when you get to a peak of a part of the story, you can tap on it and release it. And you keep tapping on those peaks one at a time until you kind of can tell the story without any emotional charge. So that's how I got to know about EFT as part of my journey.
How many, if I may ask, Rita, how many sessions of EFT did it take to get over that specific trauma? Because that is not an easy one. It's, you know, for little things in life, like minor annoyances, you can have a 20-second tapping session and they're gone. But for something as heavy as this, how many sessions of EFT did it take?
Funny enough, it didn't take long. I was doing a lot of other things, but I'm witnessing miracles with EFT. It's just so quick when you're hydrated, because you really need to be hydrated. And when you're sitting in a space that supports also the work, because again, we really need to educate people on something called geopathic stress. So if you're sitting in a space that does not help you in terms of the Earth's energy. So I'll give you an example. And we've heard the story, if we're living somewhere where we have electric poles that pass above the house, we're more prone to disease because it lowers our immune system, right? So if you're in such a setup, EFT can take longer time to work. If your body's not hydrated, if you haven't had enough water, EFT is not going to work as much as well. So once we have all these conditions of the, you know, the ecology, the setup is right, EFT is fast, it's quick. So I'd say 2-3 sessions. If the client is 100% full on wanting to get better and not more attached to the secondary gain than wanting to get rid of the problem. So there's a lot of factors that come in to the therapy session and to the work with EFT.
Right. One of the things I really love about EFT is that, first of all, it's very simple as a technique, in the way that anyone can learn it and can apply it at home on their own, just like meditation and yoga. Of course, there are instances where you need a facilitator, you need someone to help you with probably with more complex issues. But with everyday things, once you learn EFT tapping as a tool, you can use it every day and on so many different things. I'll give a couple of examples in my life, because I think EFT is very effective when it comes to dealing with fear. As fear is an emotion, and it's one of the emotions that it can release. So in my life, in the past 14 years, there's two major fears that I overcame. One is the fear of public speaking. Imagine, Rita, Olina, I don't know if you know this about me either, but I used to be terrified when it comes to standing up in front of a group of 15 people during university days, like 20 years ago, I would avoid the class completely if I had to present something in front of a class. And I used, once I learned EFT, I would tap and I would imagine myself presenting in front of thousands of people. And I would notice the fears and all the scary scenarios that might come up. Oh, I'm going to forget what I'm going to say, you know? And I would clear all of them until I reached a point. Now, today, I really don't care if I'm standing in front of one person or 500. I feel exactly the same way. It's completely gone. So that was one. And it's not because I'm something special. It's because this is something everybody can do. And that's one story. The other one is fear of flying. I always hated flying in my life, especially not speed bumps. What do you call it? The turbulence. And I used to be afraid of like having 2-hour, 3-hour flights. And then I got a job where I had to fly to Argentina. That was a 17-18 hour flight. And I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And EFT tapping before the flight and during the flight as well on all the different fears that came up made it a lot more smooth. And then flying back was like, I started to actually enjoy it. So it's not only that I didn't mind flying anymore, but it started to become something like I would look forward to flying. Oh, okay, it's a chance to relax and read. And so these are two very simple examples from my life about EFT. And that's why I love it in that way.
EFT was discovered by Dr. Callahan working with a client who had fear of water, and all of a sudden by tapping on her stomach meridian, her fear suddenly started reducing. So that's how EFT was discovered, working with a client who had fears. And yeah, I mean, it does wonders.
Yeah.
But does it so for a client or for someone who wants to experience EFT, do you need to be able to recall the full experience and whatever emotions that you actually have towards whatever event? Or could it be just an abstract? Okay.
They come up naturally, Lina. So sometimes we don't really need to know what the event is. Mm-hmm. The clients can just connect to that event and call it the big one, or call it X, or call it whatever, and you'll just tap on it. And Mohammed, you mentioned something very important earlier when you mentioned that it's something we learn and we use on our own. Sometimes we need a practitioner or a friend who has learned EFT, because when we're tapping as a group, it's way more powerful. So it kind of, I'm tapping for you, you're tapping for me. So we call it surrogate tapping. So we can actually lift up the healing when we're working as a group. So that's something that's very important for people to know as well.
Mm. Yes. And another thing also interesting, Rita, that you mentioned is going back to the topic of limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs is something that I believe everybody has them on some level, you know, unless you've reached a very high level where you really believe that absolutely everything is possible. But all of us have deep down some limiting beliefs. Here I have a question. When you release a limiting belief, do you then have to install the opposite, that is the positive belief, or does it come on its own? So you release the limiting belief and then you automatically have a positive one instead.
It kind of happens naturally. It happens naturally. And there are special tapping points to kind of install a new belief. So we call it the temporal tap around the ears. So when we do that, we're basically inhibiting the rejection of the conscious mind, because our problem is also the conscious mind not allowing us to put the information into the subconscious, right? So when we've removed that limiting belief from the subconscious and we want to install a new one, this is a beautiful tap that we can actually use to get the information in faster. So certainly we want to replace that self-limiting belief with an empowering belief, and it happens naturally, and it happens, the client themselves, you know, the clients themselves come up with the replacement. We always follow the client's agenda as you know, it naturally happens that way, and they know what they want to, you know, replace it with. There to guide.
Right. What's also related to that, I think most of us, when we first start our journey of, let's say, personal growth, one of the first things we learn about, you know, just by reading books, is the concept of affirmations and positive affirmations. And we know that sometimes when you say a positive affirmation to yourself, there's that opposite self-talk coming up and telling you that, but this is not true, you know. So if I say, oh, I am, you know, very whatever, I have all the money that I need, let's go back to the financial example, this feeling is going to come up, which is, you know, telling me that no, this is not true. And in those books that I used to read, they never mentioned tapping and EFT, and it's a perfect complement to affirmations, because once you affirm something and the opposite comes up, you immediately know that, oh, here there's an area where I can tap and release a block or a limiting belief right there, so that the affirmations and or even the visualizations become more effective.
True. While you're on affirmations, I'd like to add, Hamad, that the reason affirmations don't work is that we don't feel them, as you said, because there's this voice that pops up and says, who do you think you are? Like, really, you're going to make more money. Like, really, you're going to get over your fear. So we need to shut these voices by EFT. And the reason we have difficulty shutting them off is that when I say the affirmation, I don't truly believe it. So hence the difference between an affirmation and an incantation. So when I say something, I truly need to mean it. And EFT helps me to actually get there and mean and own what I say and not blab it, just to say it with conviction. So yeah, that's certainly what we do in EFT.
Right. I talk to many people in my life about EFT tapping, and some people tell me that, you know, I've tried it, but it didn't work for me. Do you think that there's some people where tapping doesn't work for, or they just didn't address the right issue, or they didn't do it correctly?
Okay, so there's a lot of factors. One, they could be dehydrated. Two, there could be geopathic stress. Three, there could be a secondary benefit. And when the secondary benefit is more important than getting over the problem, they're not going to get over the problem. The other thing is that they might not be tapping on the issue, as you said, because we really need to be very specific in what we're tapping on and describe it as it is and say it again very clearly, because your subconscious is listening. So if you're tapping on a headache, let's say, and you feel deep down that it's a nasty headache, say, this is a nasty headache. If it becomes less nasty, or if it becomes a mild headache, we change the statements to reflect the truth of the situation to say mild headache. So it's very important that we name it, right? We say the exact words of what's happening and describing it correctly. And the other thing also that's worth mentioning here is that we don't really need to believe in EFT for EFT to work. So yes, EFT works across, because you're already tapping and you're shifting that energy. So there is no belief in the work for the work to happen. It just happens anyways. So there's no, I forgot the word. What's the term they use?
Prerequisite? A prerequisite?
No, it come to me. I'll remember.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
So that's to answer your question.
So it works for everyone. It should work for everyone, ideally.
For children, for adults, for everyone. Yeah.
Okay.
Could you actually use it for areas in your life that you're a bit confused about? Like, for example, if you want to make a decision towards something and you're a bit conflicted, could you EFT it?
Absolutely. Like now, before EFTing it, since you're talking about decisions, when we teach the course, we teach muscle testing. So you can actually get answers by calibrating your body to water. So we muscle test to water, we figure out how our body sways, and we get answers by muscle testing. It's a bit challenging to explain it without showing it. Mm-hmm. But when I know what's stopping me, or when I know what my subconscious truly wants, it helps me with making the decision faster. We can figure out allergies with muscle testing. So, you know, I've hidden a lot of stuff and we'll just put them. There's a gland right here where you can touch and figure how the body sways. Oh. So definitely it will help you figure out what's the decision that's best for you. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of fun cases where partners were chosen, like you write names of, you know, a few potential partners, and then we'll put the name on the gland and we'll see how the body sways. It's funny. So it will help make a decision. You're confused between two jobs. I have job A and job B. Put them down and you know, just connect to job A and see what your body does. And that gives you an answer to subconsciously what you truly want to do and what's best for you. So yeah, certainly we can do that. And then we tap on it further to the muscle testing.
Yeah. And so the way it works is that you're just removing all of the blockages that's there in the subconscious, and you're kind of becoming more aware of what is it.
Yeah. So if the issue is I can't make a decision, we tap on that. We tap on your inability to take a decision.
No, I'm curious about why do we get an answer? What is it exactly that happens in the body where we actually are able to find the answer?
Right. So we know that all our answers are in our subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. Our subconscious has all the, nobody knows you more than you know yourself. I always say that. Right. So the answers are within you, you know, but you're not able to bring them to the surface. So with that, we're able to kind of connect at that subconscious level.
Yeah. Do you have any interesting stories that you could share with us, Rita, of clients that you had where, you know, with interesting results or interesting scenarios?
I have many. But I'll share a few. So one big story that happened not a very long time ago with a client who couldn't kneel to pray. And she could never kneel to pray. So she said, can we tap on that? And I'm like, yeah, of course we can tap on that. So we did
one
round.
Was that a physical problem that she had?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. But we know that physical is an emotional, right?
Yeah, right.
Right. So when we tapped on it, and she figured out what was happening and she was eaten by fear. She kneeled and prayed in the office on the same day of the course.
Oh, wow.
And she's now in the US and I have permission to tell the story. So it's a beautiful, beautiful realization that she had. She cried her heart out in the office. Mm-hmm. And then she just kneeled and prayed. So that was big. That was big, I mean, for us to witness that. Another interesting story, I had EFT training at Enoch, again, a few years ago. And it was, C-suite directors, managers, and you know how in our culture, like really now, if I do this and I do all these funny moves, I can, you know, get over stuff. And they challenged me. And it was fun, right? So they liked the scientific aspect of it, the explanation. And when it came to tapping, they were just like eyeing each other and, you know. And there was one guy who was wearing a collar because he couldn't move his neck. And he said, would you be able to help me get over my neck pain? I said, would you want me to help you get over your neck pain? He said, absolutely. This is just, you know, killing me and all that. And I picked up on his words, right? And then I said, okay, come up to the front. We did a few rounds of tapping. And I said, are you okay now pain-wise? He said, yeah, I don't think I feel any pain. Okay, perfect. Can you move the collar? He just, you know, unbuckled the collar. And he was just like.
Wow. He could move his head around.
It was a room full of like 40 people.
Nice.
And he was able to move his neck after a few rounds of tapping. Wow. They were mind blown. Then another one who came up and said, can you make me stop eating chocolate? I said, do you have chocolate on you? He said, yeah, I have chocolate on you. Okay, give me your chocolate. On a scale of 0 to 10, how much do you want the chocolate? He said, 11. I said, okay, put it down. Did a round of tapping and I offered him the chocolate. And he said, there's no way it goes in my mouth.
Wow.
Yeah.
These are the kind of stories that happen on the EFT course. It's fun, it's engaging, it's very educational. Because as Mohammed said in the beginning, the poll 50-50, yeah, I would imagine 50-50. Not many people, you know, believe in it because, you know, when they see us doing all these tapping moves, they're like, are you serious? I mean, and until they experience it for themselves and you know, they get a feel of. So the work is very experiential. They need to actually do it to know what we're talking about.
Rita, can you show us where the points are located? And for the people that are listening, because there's people that are probably going to be listening and not watching, I will just describe what you're doing, which parts of the body that they are.
Absolutely.
So guide us through a typical short session on a simple issue that we can do right now.
Okay, sure. So the very first points that we tap on are what is known as the karate chop, which is the exact karate chop, right?
Yeah.
Either right side or left. Exactly, the side of the hand. So people ask right, left, and I always say it's the same meridian points, right, left, it doesn't really matter. Now, a shortcut also to the karate chop is what is known as the sore spot. So if you just put your thumb in the sternum part right here, and just rotate your pointer finger and try to locate a point that is very sore. When you find it, you're gonna say, ouch.
Yeah, under the collarbone, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. That can be used initially as well instead of the karate chop. So either point. So we first tap on the karate chop with saying the setup statement. Do you want to go through the setup statement or you just want the tapping points?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's take stress. Okay, let's just pick a simple topic. So all you need to do is just tap with me and say, even though I'm stressed out, I love and accept myself. Three times. Even though I'm stressed out, I love and accept myself. Even though I'm stressed out, I love and accept myself. Take a deep breath. And now you can simply just blab anything that you think of that is related to the stress. And this is, Lena, where the stuff comes out.
Right.
Right? So bottom line, please bunch your fingers. If you use one finger, you might miss the point. So bunch your fingers and then start with your crown at the top of your head. Now, if you watch YouTube videos, you might find a different sequence, and that's absolutely okay. So long as we do all the points, the sequence is all right. If we mess it up or if we forget a point, it's not the end of the world. Okay? So bunch your fingers. And at the top of the head, say anything that comes to mind that is related to the stress. So I can say something like, this stress is annoying me. This stress is not allowing me to focus. You might say, my brother, my boss, then go down to the side of the eye inside here at the edge and tap and say, this stress is just bothering me so much. This stress is killing me. I can't deal with this stress anymore. I need a break. And then go to the side again at the end of the eyebrow and tap. And whatever comes up with this stress is just bothering me so much, and I can't live with this stress anymore. I need a solution for this stress. Go under the eye. Mm. So it goes like a question mark, kind of. That's an easy way to remember it. So under the eye, and keep saying whatever comes to mind related to the stress. And then go under the nose. Again, this stress that I feel all over my body, this stress that I feel is going to knock me off one day, right, and I'll just give up. This stress.
Now you're on the chin, under the lower lip. So for those people that are, for those that are listening, what Rita is doing while she's talking about the stress is that she's tapping with her fingers, starting with the, let's say, the crown part of her head, then moving to, did you do this part? The side of the eye?
Side of the eyebrow, yeah. Yeah,
the side of the eyebrow as well. The end of the eye, under the eye, that is where the cheekbone kind of is located, then under the nose, above the upper lip, and below the lower lip. These are some of the points. There's a couple more, right?
And then the collarbones. Yeah. Again, just tap the collarbones, and then you can make a fist and tap here. For women, it's exactly right on the side of the bra.
Yeah. So all these points correspond to meridian energy points, that, and this is why when you tap on them, you are rebalancing the energy. Is that a right way to put it? I don't know if it's rebalancing or allowing it to flow.
Exactly.
Allowing it to flow.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the opening is always addressing the problem and then saying that you actually...
So the opening where you address the problem is where you address psychological reversal and you instill self-love. So even though I have this problem, even though I'm overeating, even though I'm stressed, even though I fear heights, even though I love and accept myself, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of, again, helps us with the flow of energy. Yeah.
And does it matter which side of the body are you doing, the right or the left? Doesn't really matter.
At all. It's the same meridian point. We have a few extra tapping points. So if you notice when we're angry, when we're upset, we kind of bite on the edge of our nails, our fingers. So these are also meridian points, because when we bite, we're actually reducing that stress, right? So these are tapping points on the edge of the nails. And a shortcut for all the tapping points of the fingers is the inner wrist. Mm-hmm. You can do that. So there's a lot of tapping points, but that's the shortcut of, you know, the protocol that we follow.
Yeah.
And it's enough. It's more than enough. That's all you need. Yeah.
Before this, before we started recording, Rita, Mohammed was sharing with me that you could actually EFT someone else. Like you could do it for someone else. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you can. It's surrogate tapping. So I can declare my body as my child's body and tap for them.
Mm.
And it does wonders as well. But be very careful, because you might pick up whatever is happening on their body. So if my child, and it happened, if my child had fever and I tap to reduce the fever, I could get fever. So we become kind of energetically connected.
And there is no way to kind of avoid that from happening. Like once you, I'm kind of comparing it here to pranic healing, because this is a concept that's very similar with pranic healing as well. But they kind of have some techniques to create a shield and kind of avoid catching whatever is going on. So I wonder if EFT has something similar.
Yes, EFT has something similar called zipping up your energy. So you kind of actually close your central meridian line 3 times, and that protects you. I haven't done pranic healing. I wouldn't know much about pranic healing, but in EFT, you can actually avoid it by zipping up, and you can do a lot of other cleansing, you know, tools that you know, just to relieve yourself. But, you know, just again, set the intention that you're just helping others instead of picking up on their pain and on their issues. Yeah.
Any upcoming courses, events that you're going to be giving soon?
Friday.
Oh, yeah. How long is the course? Is it one day thing? Or
well, the level one is half a day. So we teach it over half a day, and it's certified, and it's KHDA certified as well. And then you can do level two, where you teach the, where you learn the surrogate and how to become a practitioner and all that. But for people who just want to learn how to practice on themselves, on their loved ones, the level one is you know, will suffice. It'll just give them all the information that they need.
Yeah.
So we learn about the history, how it works. We learn about the tapping points, of course. And we learn about muscle testing. We learn a lot about the energy body and the meridians and the energy centers. We learn about how, you know, the research supports the flow of energy in the meridians. And it was done by French researchers in the 80s. And they were able to inject the radioactive dye to trace the meridians. Again, for the skeptics and for the people who don't believe. So we do have answers for all.
Right.
So that's the course is comprehensive. It's very well structured, and it does teach you all you need to start practicing immediately.
Yeah. Is it only in person, or could people connect on Zoom for the course?
No, they can connect on Zoom, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I've taught it online many a times. Yeah.
Very well. And the information would be on your Instagram account. Is that how the audience could connect?
Yes, absolutely. And so the course happening, you're talking about the course happening on Friday or in general?
In general.
In general, the website is your best reference, and my Instagram page. So the website has all the information with the upcoming courses, and the Instagram page also.
Yeah, we're going to post all of that, of course, in the episode description on Instagram, YouTube, on all the podcast pages as well, the website, how people can reach you and everything. And I do want to talk to you, Rita, a little bit about that maybe later after the episode. I was certified in level one back in 2008. I don't know if that's still valid, but anyway, we'll talk about that later. Probably the last couple of things I want to say, and is, well, the first thing I want to add, I always feel after I'm done tapping, and this is how I know when it's worked, I feel a tingling, vibrating sensation all over my face and body. Like there is something that is, you know, like there is a vibration and I feel much lighter. Like there is something that was lifted. And when I get that feeling, I know that, okay. And clarity of mind is the third thing, is that is everything feels very clear. So when that happens, usually happens after 5-10 minutes of tapping, I know that, okay, something shifted in this session. Does that make sense? Is that something people experience?
Absolutely. The tingling is normal because there's a lot of shifts happening, as you said. What I say is avoid tapping at night because it gives you a lot of energy. So again, as a result of tapping, your body gets energized. And the clarity, of course, because you've cleared a lot from your subconscious and you've made space for whatever you want to, you know, create and put in there instead of what you've released. So it's a typical response. Now, again, talking about the shift, sometimes we'll be dealing with a pain in the right shoulder, and after a round of tapping, the pain shifts to the left shoulder. Now that's a good sign, because we follow the pain, and that means that the energy is shifting until we reduce it completely and it's totally gone. So yeah,
right.
It's normal, yeah.
Very cool. And another thing I also realized along the way is you could be tapping on one thing and you end up fixing, not, I don't know if fixing is the right word. I don't like saying fixing, but I mean, you're healing something else because it could be what they call a core issue or a core belief that is linked and has many different branches to many other things in your life. And once you've actually cleared that core one, you find that four or five other things are also gone. And that is really amazing when that happens. I don't know if you've had any experiences with things like this, whether with yourself or have you seen it with others, Rita?
Absolutely. Like they come in, I'll give you an example. So sometimes they come in to stop eating crisps, right? And crisps is not the issue. Mom is the issue, or dad is the issue. And when we start tapping on the crisps and something pops up, we deal with the relationship or with the cause of the overeating of crisps. So you've done many things in one tapping session. So to answer you, bottom line, it all depends on what comes out as we tap, right? So we had a client come in once with lower back pain, and we were tapping on the lower back pain, and all of a sudden, she just lost her breath and started crying. And we figured that her lower back pain is a result of her dad cutting off the money. He'd stopped supporting her financially because she married someone that he did not approve of.
Wow.
Right? So we healed the relationship with her dad. She was able to forgive her dad, da, 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 and her back pain was gone, right? So we know that lower back pain is related to your rooting, is related to your safety and security and abundance and all that. And it's funny how it was triggered by her dad cutting her off. So Louise Hay's book, to go back to that beautiful resource, the research is based on a population of the people who had gone through similar conditions. Like, let's say she'd take a group of people who had lower back pain, and she'd figure out, she'd ask what was happening, and then she'd move on to people with kidney problems, to people da-da-da-da, until she covered a lot of, you know, physical ailments, and she could figure out the emotional root cause of every problem, and she gave an affirmation to use after the tapping as well. So it's a beautiful integration to EFT, this book of Louise Hay, and to, you know, to deal with a lot of issues that pop up that are a result of a, you know, a minor thing.
Right. Amazing. Thank you very much, Rita. Lina, do you have any more?
I was going to ask about books, but I mean, you already mentioned Heal Your Life. Anything else comes to mind that you'd like to share, Rita?
Yeah, I love Donna Eden's work, Energy Medicine. So Donna Eden is big on EFT and kinesiology. It's way more than EFT though, but it's a good reference. I love her. I love her work. I love her YouTube, actually. If people want to have fun with EFT and energy medicine, Donna Eden is beautiful. The website for the Emotional Freedom Techniques curriculum that we teach is emofree.com, and it's beautiful. It has a lot of resources up there as well. There's a big name in EFT called Nick Ortner. He has an app, actually, the Tapping Solution. So you can download the app. There's a lot of free material up there, and there's a lot of meditations that you can do while you tap. So Nick Ortner, I love his work. I love the app that he has. So I guess this is the start as far as resources. Yeah.
I contacted him to get on the podcast, by the way. Let's see what happens. You never know.
And Jessica's sister. And does a lot of tapping also on food and the relationship with food and diets, and it's beautiful. Yeah, they've done beautiful work. Tapping for money, a big name is Carol Look.
Mm-hmm.
if you've come across her. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot we can do.
there's a lot of resources on this topic, and this is why, I mean, I highly recommend people to learn it, because it's easy to learn, it's very practical, and it makes a difference. Definitely, it makes a difference. So, well, with that said, thank you so much, Rita. It was a real pleasure having you with us in this Conscious Convo today. A lot of useful information and very practical. I love it when something is practical, that it's something that's not only, I love the theory, I love the knowledge, but I also love when there's something that people can take and can apply immediately to improve their state and improve their life. So thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome. And thank you for a beautiful platform. And I just love the name of the podcast, Conscious Conversations. I mean, it can't get any better.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. And for everybody tuning in and is still listening until now, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed the episode. And we'll catch you in the next Conscious Convo. So take care of yourself. Bye-bye. And I always stop.